In your worship bulletin, you'll notice on the inside there's an area called Scripture Surfing. And if you're new here with us, this is just for you and the Lord, you and Jesus. That's for you to get alone with Him on your own time, to have a time and a place and just meet with Him and let Him speak to you through His Word. This is reading God's Word all the way through, not missing any of it. And then each time we come together, we'll have readings. I'll share some things that stood out to me in these chapters. And then on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, you can share what stood out to you in those passages. And then every time we meet together, we'll have a message from those passages you just read. And so so we want to do that right now. And I want to look at last Thursday and last Friday's readings. And you may not be able to turn there as quick as I'll read, so feel free to just listen if you would like. If you'd like to try to turn there, you may do that as well. But we want to look at last Thursday and Friday's readings. And so, if you'd like to, turn with me to Judges chapter 12. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible next to you, and that's about the seventh book in the Bible. You'll see it after Joshua there. Listen to verse 3. Judges chapter 12. Let me pray before we look at His Word. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, Lord, that it is living, that it is active, that this is not like a book, this is like a phone, that we hear Your voice anytime we look at it, that You speak through Your Word. And right now, You've told us it will never return to You void, but when we read Your Word or we speak it or we preach it, Lord, that it will go out and accomplish the purpose that You have for it. And so we ask that You would do that with Your Word right now. Pierce our hearts with Your Word. Show us what You are telling us and help us to put into practice whatever You tell us, Lord. We pray it in Your name. And Lord, get me out of the way, Lord, this human vessel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 12, verse 3, God tells us this. Jephthah and Ephraim are talking, having this this dialogue, discussion back and forth. And in verse 3, Jephthah says this, "When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites. And the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now why have you come up today to fight me?" Notice he said, I went and fought them with my own hands. But then right after that he said, "And the Lord gave me the victory." It's not you. It's Him. And He'll fight your battles as you trust Him. In chapter 13, you'll want to hold your place there. We'll dive down a little bit deeper there in chapter 13. In chapter 14, God tells us this in verse 5 and 6, dealing with Samson. It says this, "Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. Notice the Spirit. Now, Samson, God had already given him a bunch of strength in just who he was. But notice, it's when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him that he had all that strength. God's help. That's when you have all your strength. That's when you have the strength you need, is when God helps you, when He's with you. His Spirit is in you, when His Spirit is in you. Chapter 15, when you surrender to His Spirit, that's when you see His strength. Chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, God's Word says this, "Agreed," they answered, "we will only tie you up." They're talking about Samson. They've caught him. "Agreed," these Philistines, his enemies. "Agreed," they answered, "we will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands." There it is again. Yes, he was a strong man, but what happened? It said, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. And it says that God turned those ropes. God made the ropes like charred flax. It's the Lord. It's God. He's your strength. We see it once again. And then in our New Testament readings, you can turn to the book of Acts and look at Acts chapter 26. And if you're new at this, the New Testament is the last third of your Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. But you don't have to turn there. I'm going to go ahead and read Acts 26, verse 13 and 14. It says this, Paul is about to share his testimony before King Agrippa. And he's sharing what God has done in his life, what Jesus has done in his life. And in 26, verse 13 and 14, it says this, about noon, Paul's sharing his testimony. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Notice, Paul had a habit of sharing his what God has done in his life. You and I need to do that. We need to be sharing our testimony. Everything we see Him doing in our lives, we need to be sharing it with other people, don't we? Chapter 27, verse 9 to 11, says this. They're sailing on the sea. Paul's with them. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship, since the harbor was unsuitable to the winter, to winter in, and then he goes on from there. He made a wrong decision there. He should have followed the guy that was in tune with the Lord, that had this a guy that was following the Lord, but he chose to go with a different guy. We need to be in tune with the Lord. We need to be listening to what the Lord is saying. And in the end, this man made the wrong decision. He should have followed Paul's advice. In chapter, I already read from Psalm 115, verse 1, but let me share with you Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. God is love. I love what's on the worship bulletin right there. And it's so awesome the way the Lord works, because He was really speaking that to me this morning when I was spending time alone with Him. That's the one thing He kept really telling me is, I love you. I love you. His love. And then I come here and look at our worship bulletin. God is love. He is love. Well, look at Judges chapter 13, where you held your place there. Let me just share just a moment about amazing things. Amazing things. God tells us in His Word, I shared it right here at the beginning, with God, all things are possible. God just specializes in the amazing. God specializes in the impossible. That's just what He likes to do. That's just what He does. With Him, all things are possible. There's a song that says, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. And I love to remind myself of that. Anytime I come up against something impossible, those are the verses, those are the things God, the Holy Spirit, brings to my mind. With God, all things are possible. Lord, You can make a way, this thing I'm facing. You can make a way where there seems to be no way. I thank You for that. And You are the God of the impossible. You are able. You can do anything. So it doesn't matter what you're facing today. You may have lost hope. It might seem impossible to you. Forget it. It's nothing to God. It's simple. Nothing to Him. And we see Him doing amazing things right here in Judges chapter 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to share just a little bit of what happened here. Surrounding the birth of Samson, this strong man. Just a couple of amazing things. His father, Manoah, the angel of the Lord came to the angel of the Lord came to his wife and said, and she couldn't have children. But the angel of the Lord came to her and said, "You're going to have a child." And then gave her specific instructions. "Here's what you are to do, and you're going to have a child." Well, there we go. She can't have children. Well, that's pretty amazing. And then later on, she does. She has the child. She has Samson. Amazing things. And then her husband, and then Manoah, he wants a little more clarity. And so he wants to know, he wants to ask this angel a few more things. Well, amazing things. So what does he do? He prays. He prays and he asks, for that angel to come back. And so he gets to talk to that angel, amazing things, and he gets to get some clarity on what's about to happen here and what's going on and what's to go on in this child's life. Amazing things. Well, notice this. With amazing things, we see in verse 2 and 3, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah, that was Samson's dad, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now, see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Amazing things. First thing we need to notice there is to see these amazing things, you got to do your part. You got to do your part. You see, God came to her and he said, "You're about to have a child. He's going to help Israel." And that's an amazing thing. I can't have children. But then he gives her instructions to follow. "But you're to do this." God wants to do amazing things in your life. But he's going to give you instructions too. He's going to give you things to follow. He's going to give you steps to take. And you got to take the first step, and then you got to take the next one. You got to do exactly what he says. You got to follow his instructions. Yes, amazing things. If you want to see amazing things, you got to do your part. You got to do what God tells you. You got to follow his instructions. And secondly, we also notice in amazing things, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them too. Pray for amazing things. Look at verses 8 to 10. This is what I was referring to. "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'Oh God, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.'" And they go on from there. Pray for amazing things. Manoah prayed, and then this amazing thing happened. Do you pray for amazing things? Or do you just kind of pray in general? "God, please bless everybody and bless me and bless my family." You can't see God doing any of that. I mean, you can't see his work if your prayers are so general. I love to pray specifically. As soon as there's some little problem or something, to take that thing and be like, "Okay, in my afternoon prayer time, I'm hitting that one." And just get there and just pray about that thing and just listen till you have the answer. "Oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. Head out, go do it." We need to pray specifically. Pray for amazing things. Amazing things. And finally, see them and worship. Amazing things. See them and worship. In verse 19 and 20, it says, "Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering." They're going to make an offering to the Lord. Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. Amazing things. See them and worship. When you see amazing things and when you see God do amazing things, hey, we need to fall down on your face and worship. We need to worship. We need to say, thank you, God. We sure don't need to chalk it off as coincidence. Oh, that was probably a coincidence. We need to see His amazing things and fall down and worship and say, thank you, God. Wow, it's amazing. Thank you. Help me to share this with everybody, Lord. Help me to share it with who I come in contact with. Every little way you see the Lord work, every little way, we need to share it with people. I saw Him work last night at Cuco's. Allison and I went out to dinner and went to Cuco's and had a date. And we were just finished up. We were probably the last people in the restaurant. We went late. And we were in that outdoor area at that Cuco's way out east. And we were the only two in there. And our waiter, he was so nice the whole time. He had been so nice the whole time. And we were just about to leave. It seems like there was nobody else in the restaurant. And we were paying our bill and everything. And just a little prompting in my heart just felt like the Lord was saying, hey, give him a pocket cross. And we have these tools here at our church. We have a pocket cross to invite people to the church. And I just got it out. And I said, hey, would you like to have this? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah, it just says Jesus is Lord. It's just a reminder. You can keep it on your keychain. Just a reminder to let Him be first. Let Jesus be first above everything. He was like, oh, yeah. And I said, there's the schedule. I said, do you have a church home anywhere? And he said, yeah, I go to Rock Springs Baptist. And we used to live right next to that church when we lived in Tallahassee. And we said, what? And then Allison said, do you live by this certain road or something like that? And he said, yeah, I live on this road. And Allison knew somebody that lived on that road. And she said, do you know so-and-so that lives on this road? And he said, yeah, that's my mother. And we said, wow. And so we got in a long conversation and we started sharing the amazing things that the Lord had done. He was sharing with me the things the Lord had done in his life. And I shared how the Lord delivered me from way too much alcohol and things like this. And we were just sharing amazing things that the Lord had done. We got to worship. We got to see those amazing things. You got to do your part. Whatever the Lord tells you got to do your part. Amazing things. You got to pray for them. We need to pray for amazing things. Don't you want to see them? Pray for them. And then when we see them, we need to worship. Fall down and worship. We need to share it with everybody. Well, there's an amazing thing we're about to celebrate right here. God put on a human body and came down here in the person of Jesus. Because I'm a sinner and I deserve to be in hell forever, burning. I deserve death and hell for my sins, and so do you. The wages of sin is death, and it means the second death, eternal separation from God. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's God's judgment. God is a just God. He can't be in the presence of sin. He can't be near sin. But He loves me and He loves you, and He is love. And so what did He do? He sent His Son, who was God in the flesh. And He came in the person of Jesus. And that penalty had to be carried out. Death and hell. And so there was a cross. And Jesus came and He took all of my sins and all of yours. And He took my punishment for me so I wouldn't have to take it. And He took yours too. And He suffered and He died on that cross. And before He went there, He had this last supper with His disciples. And He said that this bread would be His body and this blood would be, this cup would represent the blood. And He had them eat and drink. And He said it was to remember Him and His death, what He did. He said, do this in remembrance of me. An amazing thing. I don't know how He did it, but somehow, I wasn't even born yet, But he knew all my sins and he had them all on himself. He knew all your sins, even the ones you hadn't done yet. And he paid for them all with his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. But he shed all his blood and he paid for our sins. And then amazing things. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. And now he calls anybody to follow him. Well, we're going to celebrate that. But this is a very sacred occasion. And it's not to be taken lightly, this supper that we're about to have here. God doesn't want anybody to be what his word calls it as being guilty of taking the supper in an unworthy manner. And that's sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So we can't take it lightly. So if you're a baptized believer here today, that's God's requirements. If you're a baptized believer, you're invited to his supper, to take this supper. But if you're not, just hold off. Just let it pass by for now. You don't want to be guilty of taking the supper in an unworthy manner. But we also, just like Doug led us, we need to prepare our hearts for this. Doug led us to begin to prepare our hearts. And so we need to search our hearts right now. And if there's anything wrong in our hearts right now, don't take it. Don't just let the supper pass by. But the best thing to do is to get right in your heart right now. So if there's a relationship where you have bitterness and unforgiveness, go ahead and get right with the Lord right now. Release that to the Lord. Tell the Lord, okay, God, as hard as it is, I forgive that person. You know, get right with the Lord. Or if there's some other sin in your life, something else you're harboring in your heart, get right with the Lord. And confess it to him. And then come with a pure and a clean heart. God, I've confessed everything to you. And then if you're a baptized believer, then take the supper. But I want to invite our deacons to come at this time. And as you take it, you remember the amazing things that Jesus did for you, coming to rescue you and going to that cross and dying on that cross for you. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23b and 24, God tells us this. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." that bread that they used that night was unleavened. It had no yeast. Later on, yeast came to represent sin and wickedness. Well, Jesus said, "This is my body." No sin. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. He was the perfect sacrifice to bear all the sin of the world. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Pray with me. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross, for paying for our sins. Thank you for giving yourself, giving your life. Help us to know you better and understand more what you did and how it applies to our lives daily, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the perfect life that you lived, that we could never live, that is applied to us after our repentance and our faith, that you give us your righteousness by our faith in you. Thank you. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And they took the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. He shed it for you, that you could be forgiven. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we can't imagine what you went through. Theologians ponder how the physical death was probably the lightest amount of suffering that you had. The physical death, the abandonment, Lord. You had always been one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God can't be in the presence of sin. You were separated and you said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The guilt you must have felt. Lord, we thank you for what you did, Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood so that we could be forgiven, making atonement as our great high priest for all of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. And they took the cup. Gentlemen, you can be seated if you would. Pass your cups to the edges of the aisles, and our deacons will pick those up from you. Well, what amazing thing is God trying to do right now in your life, in your heart? Maybe you have not yet fully given your life to Him, fully surrendered to Him, and just said, Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my life. I trust you to save me from my sins. I repent. I finally turn from myself and anything I'm trying to do to earn your favor and to be good enough to get to heaven one day or to be a good Christian. I repent. I turn from anything I can do in my human effort, and I turn totally to you, Jesus, and what you did. I put all my faith in you, what you did on the cross, dying for my sins and your resurrection. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe God's calling you to join this church. You know that you need a place to connect. You need a place to be a member, be a part of the body. And maybe you've just been visiting and just visiting around, and God is telling you, this is it. This is the place. If that's what He's telling you, you come. Doug is going to lead us in a song in just a moment. We'll welcome you. We'll invite you to this fellowship. But whatever He's telling you to do, you do it. If it's to come to Him, to trust Him as your Lord and your Savior, give your life to Him, then you come. You share that. I'll be standing here at the front. You come and you share that. I won't embarrass you or anything like that. We'll just celebrate with you. Or if it's to join this church, you just come. You step out of your seat as Doug leads us and you come down that aisle. Maybe you just need to pray. You can pray there at your seat, or you can pray at the altar. But you do whatever the Lord is telling you to do. You let Him do the amazing things that He is trying to do. Obey His instructions.